This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Visiting voting stations, it was a public holiday even, so it gave people an opportunity to really go and cast their ballot. But then, is this vote going to work for them? And where and how are they reading the climate, the political climate, in terms of Labour and some of those gains and what they would like to see in terms of transformation, looking at the workers? Wiseman is here, and you at home, you're welcome to join us. You are, or we are, on 0861-987-000 this morning. But then there by X, we go by at Power FM 987 at Katlego Leroy. _ Dr. Hamilton, good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning, Katlego.
You know,
good to your listeners.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for always giving us your time. The elections have come, they're gone now, and we find ourselves in this next phase. It's called horse trading, the bargaining really happening where that political space is concerned. And we see the workers really just keenly watching as well in terms of what is going to happen. I saw earlier on the list that came out in terms of those that are heading to Parliament. The Minister of Employment and Labour, Thula Sengcesi, is not heading to Parliament as those that made the cut. And just a lot that has been spoken about the economy and where we find ourselves and considerations that will need to be taken here when you look at these coalition talks in the lead up to the building of a new government. Let's start with your reflection on these elections, how they fared, looking at the fact that we don't have an outright majority. We didn't see the ANC come back in terms of that, but then also others saying that it is a mandate that is given now to whoever steps into power to say that the electorates are keenly watching you. If you don't perform, then we're going to look for an alternative. How are you receiving these elections, the results, and really where we find ourselves now?
Well, I think that these represent elections represent an historical turning point in South Africa's post-apartheid history.
Mm-hmm.
Because despite the dominance of the discussion about the position taken by the MK party in rejecting these elections and demanding a rerun, which we are totally opposed to ourselves, and reject the position being put forward by MK. They represent a rejection of the entire 30 years of capitalist economic policies that have plunged the working class majority into misery. The turnout, incidentally, continues the pattern that has emerged over more than a decade now, where, firstly, so far as the ANC is concerned, its vote has shown a consistent downward trajectory, but also there has been a withdrawal from participation in the electoral process, reflecting a significant level of alienation amongst the masses with the post-apartheid capitalist dispensation. And what we have had here is the equivalent of an electoral revolt that has taken the form, on the one hand, of people withdrawing their consent to be governed by the ANC, without, at the same time, with the exception of MK and for exceptional and special reasons that do not in any way suggest that the MK party has any future. And I will come back to that point in a minute. But it reflects a rejection not just of the ANC, But of all the other political parties that have contested these elections, none of whom have made any strides forward. The ANC has suffered the most, it is true, but the DA has stagnated, the EFF has fallen back, the IFP the same. And what is even more significant is that the cynical attempt to influence the outcome of these elections through the creation of these political special purpose vehicles by big business in the form of Rise Mzansi, Bosa, Action SA, have also been rejected. If it was an attempt to get a return on investment, it has been very, very poor by the number of seats. It's one seat, I think, or two for Bosa, one for Rise Mzansi. The DA itself, which received the bulk of the money in an unprecedented injection of capital into these elections by big business, itself has merely fallen back to the position that it achieved at its high watermark in 2014 with 22%. And what we have been arguing as the Marxist Workers' Party in particular is that what this has reaffirmed is the vacuum on the left of the political spectrum. The future that lies ahead here is a future in which the capitalist class, whose instrument the ANC, the DA, Rise, Mzansi, Bosa, Action SA all are now in the desperately difficult situation where they do not have a party with sufficient electoral credibility to continue to drive the neoliberal economic policies that have ruined the lives of the working class in this country and the economy as well. And consequently, they need to find a solution through one permutation or another of a coalition government. And that itself is a challenge, because the defeat that the ANC has suffered in these elections is not the end of its crisis. Its immediate crisis is the choices that it is under pressure to make in order to continue the economic policies that have served the interests of the capitalist class so well. And the preferred combination being promoted in the media, which appears to be dominant within the ANC, of an ANC-DA combination with the IFP added on, really like a coloration, and no more because of its low level of support. This combination will aggravate the divisions within the ANC, because the ANC is split between support for an ANC-DA coalition and an ANC-EFF coalition.
I wanted to understand then, in terms of how then, the workers find themselves then with all of these developments playing out. Because I remember even in the lead up to the elections, there were some unions coming out to say and advising the workers to say, this is how you should vote, is to protect the gains of the working class so far. Because there were parties that on their manifestos were talking about, like, for instance, the Democratic Alliance was talking about the BEE. They had a lot to say about the BEE policy. There were talks around how then we see issues of the workers being handled here, looking at the economy. How do you see all of these things playing out? And do you reckon that with us not giving a party an outright majority, then we open up avenues here to see wider discussions around stabilizing or even transforming the working class, this sector? Or then we open it up to say that some of these things that have we've managed to get, looking at everything else, this discerning views from the manifestos. Now they have to work together. We have that possibility of some of the gains reversed. How do we categorize where the workers find themselves with these issues around coalition talks?
Well, I think the thing that the working class must be very clear about from the onset is that not a single party, whatever permutation, is eventually going to be agreed upon, whether they are going to resort to a minority government on the basis of a confidence and supply scenario, where the ANC, for example, controls the executive and the opposition is given the position of speaker and or some portfolio committees within parliament, or whether they are going to go for a government of national unity, such as the one that ushered in the post-apartheid dispensation. It does not matter. All of them stand for policies that can only aggravate the conditions of the working class. And the task facing the working class now is to immediately commence the task of the building of a socialist mass workers' party. And I'm happy to announce that over the past 48 hours, the crisis has resulted in the resuscitation of what we as the Marxist Workers Party have consistently been campaigning for, and that is the reconvening of the working class summit that will be taking place on the 12th of June, and to which parties that had not until now been part of the process, like the AMCU Labour Party, the Bolshevik Party that we call for support for example, and other formations have agreed to participate. There is a greater sense of urgency about the necessity for working class unity, because ahead of these elections, the unions, for example, didn't speak with one voice. COSATU threw its weight behind the ANC. NUMSA was all over the place, by implication, calling for support for the MK party and for the ANC by leaving it off the list of those parties not to be voted for, and SAFTU similarly. But suddenly it has dawned on important parts of the movement, starting with SAFTU, but beyond it as well, that it is time for the working class to reclaim its role, that role that it played so singularly in bringing an end to apartheid and installing the ANC government. And the ANC has used the past 30 years to continue pursuing the interests of the very same capitalist class which had been served by apartheid, except to try and clear the way for the rise of a black capitalist class to the detriment of the working class. Attempting to solve this problem by whatever permutation the talks are going to produce is the equivalent of trying to make a silk purse out of a pig's ear. It cannot be done. The capitalist system is in its deepest crisis since the 1930s. I mean, Duma Kubule, the economist, for example, makes the point that merely to absorb the 300,000 to 400,000, maybe 500,000 youth who join the labor market leaving school every year will require an average growth rate of 4% per annum for a few years. That conforms to the calculations that were made by the National Planning Commission that had been headed by Ramaphosa himself, and whose national plan calculated that in order to reduce extreme poverty would require a growth rate of 5.4% per annum for 10 years consecutively. There is no possibility of that happening. All the perspectives put forward by the IMF, the Reserve Bank, by Treasury indicate that the economy is going to grow at best at between 1 and 2% per annum until at least 2028. In this situation, the government is going to continue to rely on borrowings from the international market to plug the budget deficit that they themselves have created by a systematic reduction of corporate tax since 1992. And therefore, there will be more savage cuts on the in services and greater pressure on public servants to take not only wage freezes, but a wage cut. And therefore, we need, as a matter of urgency, it is uncertain how, by the way, given the depth of the crisis, how long any form of government, whether it's a coalition government, a minority government, or a government of national unity, would be able to even last. There is a simmering discontent inside the country over the worsening economic conditions.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is to find, as the working class, a constructive outlet for the energies of the working class, but with a clear program to unite the struggles in the workplaces under a new socialist confederation of trade unions, to create a socialist youth movement, to unite with the students, to fight for free education, for the scrapping of the historical student debt, and in order to unite the struggles of communities in a socialist community structure countrywide. That is the task that we need to face. It is urgent, not just for the working class who happen to make up the overwhelming majority, but for the middle class as well, who increasingly are being dragged down into poverty by the deepening crisis of the capitalist system. It will be the means by which the working class will be able to assert itself over the rampant corruption and crime, even before we get to the point where the working class is in a position to contest the elections, whether in 2029 or before that, depending on what the crisis is going to produce with it, the coalition of whatever permutation. It will take responsibility for the reintroduction of order within the township. The state is incapable of doing that any longer. Their obligation, their priority, is to cut social spending. That means cutting even on law and order. That is the reason that the state is hollowed out. It will be impossible for them to implement even this national health insurance, which falls short of what is required when it comes to a free service. As a matter,
there have been talks here, Wesman, about the economy and where we find ourselves now, and all of these assertions, or where then we find ourselves in terms of these conversations, the bargaining, they have an impact then on how then we're going to move, because then these people then become lawmakers, they're policy makers and the likes, and we see you saying that we need to then see how the country moves in terms of ensuring that whatever administration is in place then comes through for the economy, like you said about Duma and what have been predicted around the economic growth for this year. We see the rand really losing its gains, its strength in the day that was, and also in the afternoon, just giving us a sense of how then things have been faring politically, and how you hear a lot of people saying that whatever is happening politically would tend to have an impact on where we find ourselves or what we see in terms of all of these sessions and discussions that are being made. We hear that really on Wednesday, after the ANC's announcement that it's considering a government comprising of several parties rather than a tie-up with the business-friendly Democratic Alliance, we are told that the rand fell more than a percentage to close to 18.95 cents per dollar against the dollar, against the US dollar in the early afternoon, but its weakest level, we are told, since the 26th of February, while The yield on the 10-year notes rose 9 basis points to 12.21%, and the dollar bond also selling off as well. We see it just basically strengthening a bit in the late afternoon, but still at concerning territories after breaching the 1835 rand mark last week, whereby there was that optimism coming through, and it looks like that optimism has dwindled. What is your understanding of what then is happening economically, looking at these bargaining and these conversations that are being held right now? And I also wanted to get your take around then who moves the workers' issues forward in terms of the next administration. I was talking about Minister Thula Sincwesi, that he did not make the cut in terms of those that are going to parliament, and others would say the writing then is on the wall in terms of who then steps into that portfolio. Just briefly, Wiseman, we're out of time. Yeah. Two issues. The economy, the markets, and where we find ourselves looking at the coalition talks, and also then who steps into that portfolio to move the sector forward in the next administration?
Well, obviously, I think, you know, people that at least have some familiarity with worker issues would be preferable. But I think what needs to be understood as well is that insofar as the conditions of workers have deteriorated, the question of who the Minister of Employment and Labour is completely irrelevant, as a matter of fact, because it is under Thula Sincwesi's watch, for example, that collective bargaining in the public sector is effectively being destroyed. It is under which, you know, through the constitutional legitimacy lent to the government's wage theft of 2020. It is under his watch that the legislation was introduced to cripple the right to strike and the right to picket. So long as the ANC is committed to the preservation of capitalism, all departments are subject to the requirements of this parasitic minority that is the capitalist class, whose interest a government elected by millions is obliged to serve at their expense, at the expense of the very same voters. On the question of the economy, you see, it's not an accident that there is a preference for the DA on the part of the investors, financial commentators, and economic analysts. There is a difference between the ANC and the DA, by the way. Let's remember a few things here, because the DA is being made a kind of a ho-ho of, as if things will be any worse than they already are. The DA wasn't even in existence when the economic policy called GEAR was introduced, that lies at the root of the devastating deepening deep inequalities in the country, the mass unemployment, and so on. They were not there. They were only born in the year 2000. The GA is not responsible for the policies that are being developed by Guotong Wan to achieve a primary budget surplus, for example. It is not in government. It makes a noise outside, and its role is to exert a rightward pressure, it is true, on the ANC. But the ANC's policies are right-wing enough, from the standpoint of the capitalist class, to have created this disaster. So that's not the point. It will not make any difference if any other party were to enter into... I mean, look, we obviously can't even expect that there's going to be agreement. For example, that the MK party, which who knows what it stands for, it has the most reactionary public positions. You know, wanting to send teenage pregnant girls to Robben Island, wanting to reintroduce tribal rule, it is anti LGBTQI rights and so on, and it competes for revulsion on the right with the Patriotic Alliance. So let's not talk about them, because they will not be given a say. Let's look at those parties that will go in. And it's between the ANC, the DA, and the EFF. The EFF, unfortunately, has moderated its positions on, for example, nationalization, which it has never called for to be placed under workers' control.
Yeah.
And without that, it's just a capitalist policy. And it has tried to make itself a little bit more respectable, you know, by moderating its language as it prepares to play a role in government. Things haven't quite worked out.
Yeah.
Because of the reverses that the EFF itself has suffered. So it is most likely that we are going to have a combination of the ANC, the DA. They may bring in the EFF. I'm not ruling that out because of pressure from within the alliance. And it may be that the argument will be that there should be some kind of a compromise. But the impact on the economy is clearly an indication of the interest that the ANC has always served and that they are now fearful might be diluted if the ANC doesn't have the right partner. That's the reason that there is, the deterioration in the value of the rand and so on. But that has been happening anyway. And who is going to pay the price for that, incidentally? It's the working class and the middle class. Because if the rand begins to sink, the traditional weapon for protecting it from complete collapse is interest rates.
That is what will
happen. So there'll be deeper impoverishment for the majority of people inside the country. Now, this does not mean to say that until such time, you know, as the labor movement and the working class have gotten their act together, things must be left to continue. The building of the party of the working class must entail marching on parliament.
Yeah, we are out of time, Wiseman. I wanted you to just give us a brief response in terms of, the economy and really who then steps into that position. Our next guest is on standby, but I hear you. All eyes really will be on these political parties. And we see indeed the Democratic Alliance being described by at least News 24, this article that I have in front of me. And they're saying that they are a business-friendly Democratic Alliance. And I think they're talking about the optimism around the ANC-DA deal. But you're right to say everything else is all interconnected. Whatever decision will be taken here will be filtered all the way down to, you and I consumers. And then it's likely that they're going to just bring even harsher those realities around the cost of living and the socioeconomic challenges that the workers have been experiencing over time. I want us to leave it here, Hamilton.
Just one point, Takeho. You see, the argument that is being promoted, the expectation that is being created, that an ANC-DA tie-up will be beneficial to the economy and so on, that is misleading, by the way. It will not happen because it's the objective conditions, it's the poverty inside the country and the lack of demand that has resulted in a drastic decline in fixed investment to the same levels that it was in 1994. The DA and the ANC will be in agreement on the continuation of those policies, by the way, and therefore the conditions won't change, and therefore there will be no economic improvement. It is a misleading perspective that has been put forward to try and get additional support for a declining ANC to continue the exact same social attacks on the working class as happened before.
No, I hear you, Dede Hamilton. All eyes really on these coalition talks. And you and I will still talk some more, looking at issues coming out of the working class. But I'm so happy to hear that on the 12th of July, you said you guys will be...
June.
Oh, nice. So you guys will be convening that working class summit. Do come back so we can reflect on what came out of that particular process, so we can see how then, as the workers, you're working to just come together, unite, and also reflecting on the elections and what this means as you're talking about unity of the workers, even in formulating or the formation of that political party that will champion and move your interests forward. But thank you very much, sir, for your time this morning.
All right. Thank you, Goddam.
Appreciate it. Westman Hamilton coming through there as our guest, just stretching it into the last part of the show. But this is where we have Dedi Zibusekunene, who's on standby. I told you that we're going to be going into our parenting corner. Let's break a bit when we come back. We bring in Dedi Zibusekunene, and this is where we'll be taking you to the top of three.
Power 98.7 has signed a code of conduct that is enforced by the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Under this code, we're committed to broadcasting news that is accurate, comment that is fair, programming that is not harmful to children, does not amount to hate speech, and contains no gratuitous violence or explicit sex. If you think we are not living up to that code, you may inform the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Direct any complaints by email to bccsa@napsa.co.za. For more information, please visit bccsa.co.za.
Power Talk with Lerato Mbele.
I have to commend President Cyril Ramaphosa, extinguished, and how he conducted himself along with members of the ANC, because it can't be easy being told to your face outright on that numbers board that almost 60% of South Africans do not believe in your leadership and do not support your policies and government.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.